It's Bashomania!
Let me tell you something, brother. He gave us everything he had in him tonight. What you gonna do when Bashomania runs wild on? Oh, it's gonna be a good one.
And business just picked up here on the podcast.
Oh, we are back. Bashmania Coffee Talk. My guy Chenzo live from Arizona. What's going on, man?
Not much, you know.
We do got to get you to the East Coast. Every time I told my wife last night, I'm like, listen, I'm going to do a recap show with Chenzo first thing in the morning. And she's like, your time or his time? I'm like, you know, first thing in the morning, his time, which is lunchtime here.
If I did first thing in the morning your time, which is like 6 a.m. East Coast, I just probably would have stayed up.
Yeah, so that's what I do with Willie.
Wasn't in the cards for me. What you do for Willie.
Like, I'll get a text from him like, yo, let's do a show as soon as you wake up because then I'm going to bed after. So I'm like, all right, yeah. I get to the office at like 6 a.m. or something.
Yeah. Real quick before we start, got to shout out my brother and his wife, Kristen. Had a baby girl this week. I'm super happy for them. I'm now an uncle.
Congrats, Uncle Chenzo. Maybe we'll make that in the title. Uncle Chenzo joins the podcast for some coffee talk.
Yeah, you know, it was a big team effort. I did a lot of cheering from out here in Arizona. So super happy for them.
He's over.
We got to watch wrestling all weekend.
North Carolina, right?
Yeah.
You'll have to make the East Coast trip soon. Just planting the seeds. Mm-hmm. Planting the East Coast seeds.
Yeah, I just got to go take a visit to see my boy over there.
So the NCAA tournament was incredible. It was three great days of wrestling, and obviously the only thing to do after you watch 3 days of wrestling is talk about it.
As any other sporting event.
Yeah. So we're going to go through it weight by weight, kind of do a high-level overview. We won't go too crazy in detail. We're also going to skip over me watching the Bills-Cardinals game yesterday, waiting for the finals to start. But that was I don't know what was weirder, seeing some of the old players like Singletary on the team or the fact that it was 2020 and there was no fans in the stadiums and they were playing that weird background noise. It was so
weird. you kind of forgot about that, right?
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Just a lot of sports that year were just way different.
Like, you see the offensive and defensive coordinators and stuff sitting in the booth with the mask on. And I'm like, wait, what? And then you hear the sound, like, oh my gosh, 2020. All right.
You hear everything that's going on, yeah.
Yeah. So, let's start. I guess we'll talk team after. Penn State just dominated. 172.5 points. That's just crazy. Winning by 100 points.
Look, it just like basic, in my opinion, this is the best sports team ever in any sport. The run that they're on, it's just, I don't really see how it can be comparable. Just, I know other teams have won more, but just like the pure dominance of it, the consistency of this team, you know, and they're not done yet.
You also have a little bit of everything, and we'll kind of, you know, obviously you're a Penn State alum. I'm a Penn State guy, so we'll definitely have a bit of a Penn State twist on the show, and we'll talk about it as we go through. But it is crazy how, I was thinking about it this morning, how many different storylines there are. From Tyler Kasich not supposed to wrestle this year, Shane Van Ness goes down, he steps in, wins seven straight in the backside to take third. Carter hurts his leg, his knee, and then he bat. Like, the from top to bottom, it was crazy to see. Because I was talking to Bo last night, like, how do you think this compares to your teams that you are on? And it's crazy because, you know, I don't know if I've asked you yet, but it seems like most of you guys have, like, just the utmost respect for the current team. And it's like, they're unbelievable. Like you just said, you didn't say, like, this is the best team except for one of our years. Like, it's crazy what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, their whole lineup and just consistency and how good they are, even their backups, you know, they're just – They're a terrific team, best coach team. I don't know. Like, we had some good teams. We had some studs, but they were just, you know, we didn't have that whole lineup like they do. They don't have – they have a dog at every weight, you know.
Yeah.
And, like, we had dogs at 6, 7 weights sometimes, and that was fun. But, you know, when you wrestle these guys, you got to be ready for everybody. Yeah. And everyone's going to bring it. Everyone's going to wrestle 7 minutes. And it's just like, man, like, teams don't want to wrestle these guys.
And the expectations are it's crazy how high they were, because there was a couple people, like, early on disappointed with Braden Davis yeah. and Kasich. And, you know, I had come out right in defense. Like, there's nothing to worry about. Like, no. So, you know, we'll talk about it as we go through. But, yeah, it's crazy, the little dominance. So, all right, 125, the way I'd kind of put this out is basically the winner of the 125-pound Hunger Games of 2024 was your boy Richie Figgs. He looked incredible. He looked great.
Yeah. He and, you know, he had a rough start to the year. He was just battling some injuries and trying to wrestle through some stuff. And, you know, he was able to kind of get healthy, you know, towards, you know, beginning of January, into January a little bit, and started putting some stuff together. And, you know, I had a feeling he was going to do well this tournament. And, you know, I was even telling you guys too, like, whenever he beat Stanich and Caleb Smith back to back in that weekend, I was like, this dude can go on a run yep. and just not lose a match. I'm like, he might not lose another match this year. And he did it. He was 5-5 at one point this year. And then he just was like, I'm back. And he came back and he looked excellent. And I don't know, shout out to Richie. I'm super happy for him. Super proud of him. The stuff that he pushed through, and just, he figured it out, and, you know, he won, I think. And, like, I don't think any of those matches were fluky or anything. I think he was the best guy at the weight, and he showed it.
100%. And I think, you know, one thing that's always interesting about wrestling is you never, you know, wrestling injuries are very secretive. And I understand it's one of those things where you don't want to disclose what exactly is wrong. You don't want to, you know, I understand it, but because we see such little transparency, you do wonder a weekend going into this, like, how is everybody? How is Richie Figgs? You know, like you said, he lost to Nico Provo in overtime and then beat Stanich and Caleb Smith back-to-back just before the Pac-12s. And you had texted me, you, and Luke Gardner in a group chat, and, like, he might not lose again. But at that point, when you see him throughout the year, he lost to Volk. He lost to Provo. In 125, we knew anybody can win that. And I'm not surprised that an eight right. seed won that. I thought Drake Aiello looked awesome too. Drake.
So did I.
It was really fun. BetOnline.ag had betting lines all weekend. And I ended up, like, dead even. And part of that is because the favorites were very, very heavy favorites. Like, you had to lay a lot of money to try to make money on some of these guys. And Figgs and Drake were a couple of guys that I bet on early that I thought the quarters that I thought the odds made sense, and they delivered. I mean, Drake, he didn't really get to his offense too much in the finals, but the rest of the tournament, he looked great. Braden Davis, I thought there was concerns about him hurting his hand, and. You know, it's tough because, again, these guys don't disclose it, and it's not making excuses for him. But what do you think of Braden Davis's? Younger did. Yeah, we'll talk about that in heavyweight. He made a video. He made a slaughter video and then said, well, I broke my finger. And I'm like, well, if you broke, I appreciate.
And that sucks. That's hard to wrestle with. But
yeah. So I appreciate. I was talking to somebody this morning about the difference between a rivalry like Keegan and Carr, which the utmost respect for each other. They're never going to say a negative thing about each other. And then the next weight is Carter and Rocco Welch. And yeah. Carter saying he's going to piss on his graveyard. Rocco showing either David slaying Goliath or something close to that. But yeah, Braden Davis didn't make any excuses. Didn't AA, but man, this weight is going to be a lot of these guys return next year, so it feels like this weight's going to be fun next year again.
No, and I don't know Braden Davis at all, but just, like, you could tell by how he competes and how he carries himself as a competitor that he's just going to get right back to work. And true freshman, you know, he is a lot of time left in this thing, and, you know, he has plenty of room to grow, and he's going to get much, much better over the next few years. And, you know, he's going to be a contender. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be. He's beaten a lot of the best guys throughout the year. And, you know, he's a tough kid. He lost to two very good guys at the national tournament, and that's just kind of how it goes that way. But you know, that's, you know, you're not gonna be able to count him out. Maybe he got banged up or something, but you know, I'm excited to see him kind of grow over the next few years and see what he can do.
I'm so excited that this is such a young weight, because you have, you know, it was kind of Spencer Levers everybody for a long time. Now it's like Richie's a sophomore. You know, these guys, Braden Davis, a freshman. You have all these great freshmen and sophomores that I think this way it's going to stay fun for the next couple of years. I'd love to see it. One thing, speaking of true freshmen, somebody gave me this stat last night. Three true freshmen All-American last year. Those three true freshmen won the NCAAs this year. Jesse Mendez, Caleb Henson, and Levi Haynes. The only three true freshmen to AA last year, and they won it this year. That's crazy.
That's super impressive, yeah.
I love when people tweet me those fun facts. I put out the fun fact about the bracket when I was telling you that 9 out of the 10 champs came from the top. And he hit me with the, how about this one? I'm like, that's even better.
Yeah, no, that's really impressive. And it just kind of goes to show you just an extra year of growth. And like, if they're coming out and they're placing as true freshmen that young, wrestling, you know, possibly some guys that are in their mid-20s. And now, these guys are 19 years old, getting on the podium, 19 years old, winning the thing.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome.
You love to see it. Final note about 25, Richie Figgs now qualified for the Olympic trials. Do you know or think he's going to the Olympic trials?
I have no idea. I mean, I know that he's put a lot into the back half of this folk style season. Yeah. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see if I'm sure I'll be seeing him at practice this week, next week. So I'll probably get a better idea.
Yeah, it's super cool. We'll kind of talk about each of them as we go through. But basically this weekend, you know, NCAA champs qualify for the Olympic trials. Two of the weights already had both guys qualified, 33 and 97. Mm-hmm. The other eight weights where there could be a new qualifier for the Olympic trials, we got one with Richie Figgs, Jesse Mendez, Caleb Henson, Levi Haynes, Carr, Strachey, Kekkeisen, and Kirk all qualifying. So super cool stuff. All right, 33. Man, that final, that 89-minute final was something else.
It really was, and a lot of chirping from both sides too, which, like, I get it. But I don't know. The right guy definitely won that match, in my opinion. I think, you know, both Beto and Dayton Fix are incredible wrestlers in their own right and a little differently styled wrestlers, but those guys were scrapping, man. A lot of blood, and then a lot of blocks to hunt too.
Yeah, it was, you know, Fix, it's still getting a lot of traction. My tweet that said Dayton Fix was a senior world silver medalist, now has second, fourth, and second NCAA finishes. One of the greatest all time not to win an NCAA title. And I understand if you don't like a style or someone. I don't think Fix wrestled the best tournament this weekend, for sure. He found ways to win, and I was kind of surprised. I got some chirping when I put out that, like, me personally, I get fans booing, and I like it, but in the right context. I didn't like booing Dayton Fix just because you didn't like his style this weekend. Here's a guy who's a five-time conference champ, a five-time All-American, a four-time runner-up, five-time. Go ahead.
You got to look the guys he's lost to. Also, he's lost to Suriano, he's lost to Roman twice, and he lost to Vito twice. That's a pretty good talent right there. You know, he never really had an easy road.
No, 100%.
I get it. Like, he had a lot of opportunity, all the opportunity in the world to win it. And it's just he had to battle some really tough guys. So, I mean, Dayton Fix is a great wrestler, and he's going to be on the scene for a little while longer. You know, I'm going to keep watching his freestyle career because he's a great freestyle wrestler too. Like you said, world silver. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's a tough tournament, man. It really is. You can't really hate on the kid.
No, and I thought that, you know, the when I had put out the booing was dumb, it's not booing. Yeah. Sports fans always have the right to boo. I just felt like it seemed salty. I thought Burroughs put it good where he said, this weekend we saw Fix become the public villain and Carter become the hero.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so true. Like, you know, it's crazy. And I think Dayton has a very good mindset. I don't think he let the fans get to him too much. Be sure.
No, I wouldn't think so either.
You know, but it does. Like, the kid has given so much to college wrestling. He's been in four NCAA finals. To boo him simply because you don't agree with his style in this one tournament, whatever. I didn't care for it.
I didn't either.
Vito, I thought, looked awesome. Here's a guy now within the past 12 months, 2023 NCAA champ, 2023 world champ, 2024 NCAA champ. What a wild year for that kid.
Yeah, and I was talking to him at the Open last year before he even, you know, won Final X and everything. And people, you know, people kept telling him, like, dude, you're wrestling great. And I was like, Vito, you're not wrestling great. I think you're just great, man. Like, I think that's just who you are. And he is, and he needed to turn it up, and he did. A lot of people thought he was going to, you know, win that third match against Crookham, but I don't think a lot of people saw it coming down that way, winning by, what, 10, 12 points?
Just 10, yeah, 13-3.
Yeah, Crookham's good, man. He came back, took third. I think him and Nasir Bailey are going to be great for that weight in the next few years too. I think those guys are both really good. And 33 is always just a tough weight. So shout out Vito. We'll see if he does for freestyle this year, what weight he ends up going. I have no idea. He's going to be a force either way, whether he's down at 57 or 65, because that dude's a beast. And he's hard to keep up with whenever he's rolling.
Yeah, it's, you know, he's obviously already qualified for the Olympic trials being a returning world champ. But, you know, he has said that he wouldn't go up to 65, so he'd have to cut down to 57. And, you know, there's been talk that he's not healthy and can he cut down and does he want to? He didn't. Somebody was texting me this morning saying, did you hear his interview? It sounded like he was a little iffy on the Olympic trials. I'm like, I didn't hear it, but.
And then, like, he's earned that right to, you know, do his thing, you know, whether he wants to heal up, which that's totally, you know, totally understandable. But if he can make 57 in a healthy way, man, you got to watch out for that dude. If he's down there and he's healthy, he's going to be tough to beat. He really, really is.
100%. Another guy who had a couple guys in this way who had a great tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Bailey, shout out Bailey, Little Rock's first All American. Mm-hmm. They've only had a program for 5 years and they got two All Americans this year. I think that's absolutely awesome.
They're doing an awesome job there. They were Pac-12 regular season champs, Little Rock was. And, you know, they had two All Americans and I don't know, their style of wrestling is good, man. I like watching that kid. Like you said too, your boy Ragason got on the podium.
I was happy for Dylan.
Yeah, and those Michigan guys, they love him there. You know, he's a workhorse, and you could tell by the way he wrestles. So
I love that for the people who maybe don't have the context too. Chenzo just spent a week training out in Michigan as these guys were getting ready for NCAAs. So he was texting like about different things. We were talking about some of the camaraderie out there, some of these guys, you know, how they're acting. And literally every single thing I heard was great things that you said, whether it was Gomez, Ragason, Griffith, like nothing but great things. It's cool to see them have some success. And yeah, Ragason came back, took fifth. I was happy. You know, I'm always high on that kid. You know, he's got so much skill and talent. Good to see him All American. And he beat Shaver, who's had a great season. Shaver comes back to take seven.
I like that kid too, man. I'm a fan of him.
Yeah, that was so crazy because Shaver attacked Ragusan at Big Tens, and then here Ragusan beats him. It's always interesting, like the matches, you know, when you see a couple matches, somebody had said that they were, you know, you mentioned people were talking about like Vito will get Crookham this time. And one of the reasons why is beating a guy like Vito three times in the season is very difficult. Beating anybody at that caliber like that.
It's very hard to beat a good wrestler three times in a row, mm-hmm. especially, you know, if they're smart, they have good coaching, good game planning. It's really hard to do. And yeah, I mean, especially like how you said he got tacked and then he beat him this time around. I mean, 3-point takedown, 4-point near fall. You can get in a hole pretty quickly, especially, you know, you give up a feet to back move, then you're down 7, you're like in the hole, then you're trying stuff, you could take him down again, you're down 10, you know, just with the way the points go. And I'm sure there was just much, much more bonus points at the NCAAs this year too. I didn't really look at that stat, but like
Pat Tochi shared out a stat at the end of day one that said last year at the D1 championships there was 9 tech falls total. This year through session 2 there were 43.
Yeah, exactly.
So I mean,
like, that's crazy. I mean, I like that as just like a college wrestling fan at the moment. Yeah. I like that. I mean, I think maybe we bump up the majors and techs for next year, but maybe that's the reason why they did that. You know, I don't know what the NCAA like had in mind for that, but you like seeing the more points on the board. I like seeing, you know, takedowns being worth a little more. That way, you know, I get 2 takedowns and then you get 1, it's not tied. You know, I get 2 takedowns, you get 1, I'm still up a point. Just because of how the takedowns and escape work. So like I do love the rule, but it's like it's kind of funny when you look at some of the scores though.
Yeah, it's wild. Trying to think, anything else that stuck out to you at 33?
No, not a whole lot, really. I mean, I think it was a good weight. It always is going to be a good weight.
Yeah, it's tough when you start talking to like a guy like Nagao, not All-Americaning, and you see some of these guys that end up not on the podium. It's crazy. I was really rooting for Teske to get on the podium.
Yeah. Me too, man. He had a good postseason there, man. Just kind of get thrown in at the end. He had some tough matches. He had some good wins. He was right there in place, but ended up losing to Shaver in round of 12, which, you know, that's just a tough round, tough match right there. I do won the Big Tens a couple weeks ago, so you got to shout out Teske, but would have liked to see him get it done.
Yeah, I believe his career is over now. What, 2 years at Penn State, mm-hmm. 2 years at UNI, 2 years at Iowa, didn't get All-American status, and it just shows you how tough it is to actually become an All-American. Not that anybody's that questioning it, but yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, Nagao, I heard some chirping that he was sick. I don't know how true that is. I don't know. You know, Nagao's not one. He obviously lost in the first round, got majored. Mm-hmm. Won a couple matches on the backside, so bummed for him, but he'll be back. All right, 41. Mm-hmm. What an exciting weight 41 was. We saw Mendez at Chimendia in the semi up top. McNeil Bartlett after McNeil takes out Woods 7-1. Super, super exciting weight.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was kind of, as the season went on, it kind of became, you know, that Mendez-Bartlett collision course for the finals, right? And that match didn't really go how anyone thought it was going to. Because Bo was the aggressor in that match. And Jesse Mendez ended up winning on, you know, counterattack, you know, on his defense, which scrambling. Shout out to Jesse Mendez. He had an awesome season, man. That kid, like you said, true freshman last year, true sophomore this year, national champ. You know, he's good, man. He's going to be on the scene for a while because he's a good freestyle wrestler also. Would have loved to see Bo get that done, though. But Bo was all smiles after the match, though, too. He was even like handshake in the center, he was cheesing. I don't know if he was just like kind of like, you know, is what it is, or like, damn, I let that one slip by. But, you know, you got to love Bo as just a person and a competitor. And,
you have to. Bo is such a good kid. I heard I didn't see the ceremony, but I heard he was like clapping for everybody on the podium. Like just a genuinely kind dude who's excited for his teammates, who's excited for his competitors. Like you could see, like he had him so close to winning a national championship. He had him up in the air like a mat return. And if he takes him down and slams him, he's a national champion. And it's crazy. And I think he's like, dang, he got me at the end, you know? So I thought that was very mature from him. I'm curious if we see him back next year. He initially said he initially, I don't know if it was when we were at Final X, we had coffee for a couple hours. I can't remember if it was that or when he came on the podcast after, if he was saying like, dude, I'm just done with school. But now somebody said, Jeff Byers said over the weekend that he's 100% coming back. And
oh, nice.
What makes me think he is the fact that he did not come out on senior night at the Penn State duel.
Oh, well, I'd have to say he probably is. Yeah. So out for senior night.
That,
that's cool. Then we can get to run that one back a little bit.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
But I mean, like, that's also awesome weight. My boy Jesse had a tough tournament. Hopefully he can, you know, keep his head on, bounce back a little bit. Shout out Anthony Etchemendia, though. I mean, that dude's been through it. He's taken a lot of crap over the years, and he looked awesome. You know, he's a very good wrestler. I saw someone post that he's going up at least one weight for next year, which makes sense. He looks gigantic.
He looks like a 57-pounder. He does not look like a 41-pounder.
He looks gigantic. He's like on his feet. He's just as good as anybody. He's terrific. That match with him and Mendez was a really good match too. So, I mean, and then obviously, shout out Real Woods too, you know, taking a loss in the quarters there, probably not how he wanted to, probably didn't, you know, probably hurt him a little bit, especially being his last year, but he came back, wrestled a really hard match for third against Hardy, just kind of lost at the end there too, but had a great win over Etchemendia in the Conti semis. And like I texted you guys like during this too, like the Conti semis and like the medal round is like the most like respectful round in wrestling ever. Like they just like these guys just go out, no reason to, they don't have to, they throw it on the line, they wrestle super hard, and then they just like hug it out afterwards. Like I thought that was awesome, like the respect between him and Etchemendia after that match, especially because, you know, they jawed at each other a little bit before Iowa State rivalry. And after the match, they're like, man, they're like, that was a great match. And I love to see it just as someone watching.
It's the classic teamer Rob photo. When they went out a couple years ago, they're laying on the mat, like kind of reaching their arm out. Like there's so much respect between these guys. It was funny. So two things. One is they changed to that stupid format last year of all the seventh place, all the fifth place, all the third place matches. That's got to go. Put it back to each weight. You do third, fifth, and seventh place at each weight one by one. I did not like that. But Brock Hardy getting splatled and just being there and being like, I'm getting splatled. There's absolutely nothing I can do. That's a tough spot.
Yeah, and that picture just getting posted everywhere. Like, yeah, it's not a good look, and I don't really know what else to say.
I was happy for him to come back and take third after that. It's like,
Sam,
Brock Hardy's such a tough dude, and, you know, he had posted, like, there's so many great wrestlers right now that are great role models. Like, he came out and put up a thing like, wrestling is fun. You know, he didn't take it too serious. He didn't. So, yeah, that was That was a very fun weight. McNeil now for Canada is going to go out and try to head to the Olympics. UNC guy. Trying to see what else here.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much this weight. Let's see.
How about Bombar from Minnesota getting on the podium?
Yeah, he's a tough dude. He's one of those guys that you weren't thinking about before the tournament, and every year you kind of have those guys where it's like you're not really thinking he's going to come out and have the tournament he is, but then he comes out and takes out Cal Happel 8-5 in the first round. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So that's 41. Shout out Jesse Mendez, man. He did win the weight with a counterattack at the end, and it's funny how a guy can be so aggressive all year, mm-hmm. and that's how he wins it. You know, nobody had that on paper.
I agree.
So mm-hmm. super fun weight. Congrats, Mendez. Looking forward to, obviously, it sounds like we're going to have that one brand back next year. 49.
Yep.
What a weight yep. where so many people thought Rich Lovett, this is his year. You redshirt, you let Yanni go and win his fourth to give yourself the best chance to become a national champion the following year. And then he looked great coming out. He gets a pin. He beats Rooks 11-4. He majors Swiderski 14-4. And then, boom, loses a 1-0 match to Henson in the semis that I don't think a lot of people saw coming.
Yeah. That was kind of a head-scratcher, right? You know, I didn't really understand that. Rich, I get it. You're good on top, man. But I didn't quite understand just picking top to start the third period, you know. I feel like you go down, you get out, you get your point, and then you wrestle from there. But yeah, I don't know. And then after that, I mean, Henson's obviously super tough, right? Like you said, true freshman, All-American last year, wins the whole thing as a true sophomore. And a lot of people were kind of counting him out in the finals. Mm-hmm. And even we were at –
Yeah,
we were
hand
at
up. I picked Gomez. I just – sometimes it's just the bias of you see Gomez put up 11 points, beating Parker 11-7. You see Henson winning 1-0. And I just kind of went, I'll lean Gomez there, yeah. You know.
And Gomez, like, you know, as he does, gave up a couple silly scores throughout the tournament. But when he needed a score, he did. And he looked great doing it. And just, you know, kind of the run he's been on recently. I mean, I thought he was going to definitely win that match. But our boy Luke actually picked Henson. And then we were like, wait a second. We were like, Henson can wrestle. And going into the match, we're like, this match is actually going to be probably a lot closer than we were thinking. And it actually really wasn't that close at all.
No, Henson just came out swinging.
Henson gave up a takedown. Then after that, it was all Henson. So mm-hmm. shout out Caleb Henson. He's going to be a force the next few years in the NCAA too. And again, excited to watch this kid's career unfold. He's tough. He's good. He wrestles through every position. Mm-hmm. He doesn't stop. And that's someone that, you know, especially if they're doing that as, you know, a sophomore in college, true sophomore, it's just wait till you see like the rest of their career. And some of the guys he beat, you know, Ridge, Gomez, veterans, guys that have been doing this for a long time. Ridge is a former finalist. Ridge was the number one guy all year. Ridge, though, sliding all the way to sixth place after. I mean, he had some tough matches. He had KSAC and Parco after, but you know, that's just a tough tournament, and that just shows you how hard this tournament is, really.
Yeah, and I don't know if, you know, sometimes I feel like when I pick a Gomez over a Henson in the finals, sometimes I wonder how much of that is just Big Ten bias. Like, I obviously pay so much more attention to the Big Ten than I do the ACC, for example. When you look back at his season, he only lost 4-3 to Rich Lovett at Cliff Keen, and he lost in overtime to Jackson Arrington mm-hmm. in the ACC championships. Aside from that, yeah. he had a fantastic
and
year.
I didn't see that. And I didn't see that match, but I heard on your show with Willie that it was a pretty questionable call. But yeah, Jackson Arrington's a good wrestler too, PA guy. But yeah, you gotta just tape your hat to Caleb Henson and really just be excited to watch the rest of his career. But you got Shane Van Ness coming back, and then you're going to have KSAC for like after that. So I don't know. Also shout out Ty Waters too. True freshman from the Whitfield coming in fourth. Love to see that too. Do the hammer on top. that's someone that, you know, we're going to be on the lookout for the next few years too. And like we were just saying, the true freshmen that were placing last year or winning this year, we had two wrestle for third at this weight. So,
yeah,
I think that's really impressive.
It was. And this weight too, Tyler Kasich, I know I tweeted about a ton yesterday, but just so incredibly impressive to me to lose the first round and win seven straight, including majoring Ridge Lovett. Like, that is what you can – that is what you want out of any wrestler. Like, even maybe a national championship is great, but the character and the grit it takes to lose in the first round and wrestle all the way back. You were saying Nick Lee did that as well. I'd totally blanked on that when –
Yeah, I saw a tweet about that, and I was like, oh, yeah, he did. He Nick got stuck in the first round his freshman year, and he came all the way back, which is awesome. But shout out Tyler Kasich. That dude's always been as tough as they come. I've known him actually since he was a little kid. And actually, he was an M2 kid whenever I was helping out there a little bit. But yeah, man, he's tough and he's talented. That's someone that's going to have a really good career.
I think we're entering the era where, as you have the likes of David Taylor and Jordan Burroughs launching these academies and these schools, and already look at the success of M2. Levi Haynes, a true sophomore, national champ. Tyler Kasich, third place as a true freshman. Mm-hmm. Like, you're starting to see these guys come up and what they're doing, and I think that's only going to continue to increase. And you're seeing it, like, with Ben Askren. Shout out Ben for reasons I have no clue why. I went to look at a tweet this morning that said Ben Askren blocked you.
I might have a pretty good idea why.
Ben Askren seems like he's a guy who likes to pick a fight on Twitter versus blocking someone who's not even engaging with him. Like, I've never sent him a tweet in my life. So I don't know if he saw something in, like, the For You, you know, that the one column that just shows you, like, things you might like. I don't know if he saw something. Just very weird to be blocked by him. But you kind of saw it too with Ben Askren, where, like, O'Toole and Messenbrink are two of his guys. And you're seeing the success of these elite clubs and the guys at the high level.
Guys in two.
Yep. Yeah, so Tyler Kasich, he's a dog.
Yeah, that kid's good, man. I'm excited to watch the rest of his career. Maybe he might have to redshirt next year. Who knows, especially with Bartlett coming back.
If Bartlett comes back, Van Ness. Yeah. That would make the most sense from a succession plan. But really the answer is easy. If Bo comes back, he redshirts and then does it the following year.
Right.
As long as he can still get down to 41 in 2 years.
Maybe. That'd be tough, though. I feel like he kind of filled out throughout the year, too. But we'll see.
And to the people, because I had mentioned of the transfer portal probabilities, and somebody said, you know, why are you bringing up these non-Penn State guys? Willie, when he did the article, already included Penn State guys of, you know, where you could see a Michael Beard-like transfer out when you have a room so deep and you have guys like Bearclaw and others. The issue specifically with Kasich is he's not leaving State College. It's bigger than Penn State. It's David Taylor. It's M2 Training Center. So these kids who are coming up in that system, they're not going to be so quick to leave as to somebody who, you know, just enrolls or even gets a scholarship, whatever, like somebody else might do. So that's, you know, in regards to would Kasich transfer out, I really don't think so.
You got to look at it this way, too. I mean, as talented and tough as Kasich is, like, does he have the year he does if he's not at Penn State? Does he have that tournament if he's not at Penn State? You never know, but that's definitely something to think about. And I'm sure he probably believes that that's the reason why, or one of the reasons why, that he was able to do what he did.
Yeah. And so, yeah, this was a fun way. Austin Gomez now officially retired from collegiate wrestling. Shout out us. He came on our show to announce his announcement back in 2020, 21? Somewhere. It was a while ago.
Yeah, it was. Shout out Austin, though. He's a great dude, and, you know, I was rooting for him there. But, you know, he's going to have a great freestyle career. He's wrestling in the Olympics this summer.
Yeah.
You know, which is awesome, super impressive. I hope he does great. But yeah, you know, he had to battle through a lot of injuries and stuff. He didn't get to wrestle at five national tournaments. he was also bouncing around different coaches, different teams and stuff. And I think he kind of found his home this year.
One of my biggest takeaways, too, from Gomez is he did have to retire because of concussions. And he did fight his way back. Mm-hmm. To see him healthy and still doing what he loves and having so much fun doing it is awesome. So yeah, I'm pumped to continue watching him on the senior level. So, yeah, that's 49. 57, your alumni, your alma mater versus your current location. You've mm-hmm. got Haynes Teamer in the finals. And, I mean, Levi Haynes, this kid is a dog. He's undefeated coming into the national tournament. Tex the first round. Tex Teague Travis in the second round. Majors Peyton Robb 8-0. Pins Bryson Donning in the semis. And then doesn't give up a point against Corey Teamer. And I thought it was a very great match. Burroughs kind of said it best again when he said, you know, Ja'Cory's kind of sitting back a little bit and, mm-hmm. you know, not – you want to walk off the mat feeling absolutely exhausted, and it looked like he was leaving a little bit out there. But I also – I'm not discrediting how hard it must be to score on Levi Haynes.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I mean, I got love for both of those guys. You know, and I think Ja'Cory gets a bad rap sometimes when people think he just like gets tired or something. But, you know, I see that guy work. He puts in the work. He works very hard in the room, and he had to overcome a lot. He tore his pec a couple years ago, and he's just been, ever since he was cleared from that, he's just been training and training. And, you know, he had a good tournament, and I would have liked to see him let it fly a little bit more in the finals there. I really would have, but you know, he gave Levi all he could handle. Mm-hmm. He really did. And, you know, you could tell how much Levi respected him throughout that match, too. You know, Levi, because, like, if that's someone, if you try to chase him too much, like, him and Richie are similar. Like, if you chase them, like, they're going to be on your legs because they're just too good. And actually, my dad said about Richie, because when Richie had the lead in that match, and I was like, Richie is really good when he's, you know, getting chased down. And my dad goes, yeah, it's like chasing water. And that's basically how Ja'Cory is too, if you're trying to sprint at those guys. So I think Levi wrestled a great match, really patient, which is, I guess, what you have to do there. He kind of laid out the blueprint, but because that dude is really hard to get to, really hard to beat. Would have liked to see him, you know, open it up a little bit more, maybe go down and try to get that escape point before in the third period. But hats off to both of them for a great tournament. Levi, man, when that boy grabs you, it's a different feeling. It's kind of like
and
that Zane
Rutherford
effect.
I'm pretty sure, I don't remember the first match Teamer had, but he won 7-3. I don't think that 3 was a takedown, though. Do you remember?
No, I don't think it was.
I don't think it was.
He didn't.
And so that literally, Ja'Cory Teamer only gave up one takedown the entire tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy. He won 7-3, then he won 4-1, then he won 5-2, then he won 12-2. So literally that was
the great match.
Only takedown, and it shows you sometimes how thin these margins are from national mm-hmm. champ to runner-up. We talked about it with Mendez Bartlett. Like, it's literally a counterattack at the end, roll through and get points. And, you know, that was one takedown he let up. You know, this was a fun weight that lived up to the hype, I think. You know, you had Andonian go on a really fun run. He ended up getting pinned by Haynes there, and then
that was a really good match though too. That was a nail biter until the end. Shout out Dan Cardenas though, coming fourth, Stanford guy. He wrestled awesome. Awesome winning the quarterfinals over Shapiro. Was able to ride him for a bit and get a takedown too and ride him. So hats off to him. Stanford middleweight's looking good. Shout out Ryan Deacon.
Shout out Ryan Deacon.
Yeah, he got them boys ready to go, him and Garvin. But I think Ja'Cory wrestled a great tournament. We were just talking about beating someone, you know, three times, beating a good wrestler three times in the season. Well, he beat Dan four times throughout the year. And that's really impressive because that dude's good. So, you know, good finals match. You know, I think Ja'Cory has another year too. So We might be seeing that one again.
I thought Haynes might be going up, but I could be wrong.
I mean, I think Penn State, they're pretty set at 65 for the next few years, I would say.
I'm trying to see, too. We were talking yesterday. I got to go back and look at who it was. But there was a couple of, not more than a couple, there was a ton of people who did an All-American that are incredible wrestlers. I have to look back at some of the...
Ed Scott didn't get on the podium. I know that.
That's what made me think about it, is I was just looking at that.
Ed Scott, that's really, like, the one that stuck out to me at this weight. Shout out Peyton Robb, too, man.
Peyton Robb's
Peyton Robb's awesome. He's a fan favorite. He's one of my favorites. You know, I love rooting for that dude. He just wrestles hard. And he had that crazy staph infection this past year. Mm-hmm. And he was able to, he was in the hospital for a while, able to overcome that in a place at this weight. Like, not even that he's just like back wrestling and back being a human, mm-hmm. but he's placing the national tournament in a very tough weight. Like, that's awesome. Good for him, man. Like, you love to see that. And I don't know how you don't root for that, dude.
No, 100%. And I'm curious, too. You know, we kind of stopped talking about it after 33. But these last three weights, we do have Jesse Mendez, Caleb Henson, and Levi Haynes now all registered for the trials. You know, you never know what these guys do after such a grueling college season. And you sometimes see guys heal up, rest, you know, take a year off until they start this next cycle for the next 4 years. So who knows if any of them will be at the Olympic trials, but they could all add a fun twist to it.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I'm sure we'll see Mendez there. Mendez is always on the freestyle scene.
Mendez will be fun. Mendez will be fun at a 65-kilo guy. Mm-hmm. That weight's going to be so fun.
They're all going to be nuts.
Yeah, I heard Zane's going down now, not going up. So just another, when you got Yanni, Nick Lee, McKenna, Zane, that weight is going to be just.
Andrew Alvarez.
Yeah, yep, Alvarez. Bo Bartlett. You got three Nittany Lions and Zane, Bartlett, and Nick Lee right there. And if Van Ness was healthy, he'd be there. Caleb Larkin's going to be there. Yeah. I can't wait to do. I'm sure you won't want to do it with me because you're going to be hopefully in the Olympic trials. But I'm really excited to do an Olympic trial preview show. You are welcome to do the show with me, though. I'm just assuming you'll want to do it the week of the trials.
I'll probably stay out of that one.
Yeah, and if you did miss it, I posted a couple weeks ago. Chenzo is returning to the mat in a couple of weeks in just outside of Washington D.C. at the Last Chance qualifier. I'm super excited. I told you I'm going to try to get out there. Flights are stupid. It's like a grand to normally Rochester to D.C. is like a $100 flight, but because we're 2 weeks away and it's like spring break time, everything's out of control. But I'm going to watch it. If flights come down, I'm going to try to make it. I also told Becca that if flights do come down and I go, I might bring Freddie to his first wrestling event.
Let's go.
So, yeah, I'm pumped for that. Let's go. So, all right, 65. You see what I'm wearing.
What
David Carr. Yeah, the weight that maybe got me blocked by Ben Askren. I don't know.
Probably.
This weight, and again, you start talking about, you know, we talk about probable transfer portal or transfer portal probables. Here's a weight, and you look at the All-Americans. Dean Hamidi. That is crazy with the talent he had, the year he had, and I know there's a lot to talk about at this weight, but because we were just talking about, you know, Ed Scott not All-Americaning. Here you had going into the postseason, Hamidi lost to Carr 2-0, and then he didn't lose again until the postseason, and he lost 13-11 to Messenbrink at Big Tens. And you thought this guy, you know, top five finish, and then.
Yeah, it's sometimes just how the brackets work out, too, man. He didn't lose to any slouches either. He lost to David in the quarterfinals, and then he lost to Olegnik, who was a transfer this year in the blood round. Also not placing it this way, Cam Amin and Julian Ramirez, which is just like, that
crazy.
just goes to show you how difficult this is. What a tough weight. Like I already said, shout out Hunter Garvin getting on the podium. But I mean, really, I just kind of think the top three guys at this weight just separated themselves from the field
And Ramirez
by
beat
a good
Carr
bit.
earlier in the year. That's what's so
Yeah,
crazy.
he did. Yeah, didn't beat the national champ and didn't place. It's a hard tournament. It really, really is. And just like, it's hard to understand until you're like witnessing it or just like in the thick of it also. But yeah, like you said, transfer portal, I have no idea.
I'm not at all advocating saying should he get in the portal. I'm simply saying right now there's two things primarily that happen. One, a coach sees somebody either finish really good and then go after them, or not perform up to their expectation or level and say, are you interested in a fresh start? I'm just suggesting that we might see one of those two. I'm not a fan of like, you know, hey, didn't I have a good tournament? Eh, just go transfer somewhere else. Had a great tournament?
No, neither am
see
I.
What you can get. But you have to acknowledge that it is going on. Hamity lost in the quarters to David Carr, who looked awesome. And I had thought O'Toole was going to win this weight. I had thought that. I'm pretty sure that's who I picked going into this. Not because I wasn't rooting for Carr, but because O'Toole's looked so dominant. He bumped up and beat Edmund Root this year. He's undefeated. He's a Hodge contender. He's already beat Carr, you know, the last couple in a row. And then Carr beats Hamity 5-0 and then goes out there and just in the group chat, I used the term he broke him. And I think that's the right term. If that's an international freestyle match, we're saying Carr broke O'Toole. And O'Toole even said in the interview,
I'm gonna disagree with that. I think like there's a difference between someone breaking someone and someone getting tired. Like Mitchell Messenbrink will break you from his pace. David's not really throwing that pace on you. I think just the heat of the moment and a lot of emotions, and Keegan just got tired
that's
throughout
fair.
The match. That's what I think happened. And like, I think they both wrestled really well. And I think they're two of the best wrestlers in college wrestling and just that we have in the U.S. really. I think they're both very good. But yeah, I'm not going to say that like David broke them.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And O'Toole said after, like, he was not happy how tired and I don't know if he used the word gas, but he used, I was tired and I'm not happy with why it hit a wall,
right.
Both in the match with Carr and then in the match with Caliendo that he won 12-8 for third, too. So,
right.
But as soon as Carr beat him, I did say I was going Carr. I bet Carr. Messenbrink is incredible. The things
he's awesome, man.
He might have the highest pace and the biggest gas tank in college wrestling today. And
might. What do you mean might? He does.
Just in case somebody throws out a name I'm not thinking about. I like to use terms like might. But yeah, his pace is incredible. And I think Willie said in a different group chat, like, Messenbrink's about to gas Carr. And you saw Carr look at the clock a couple times. And Cormier kept bringing that up. Like, he's looking at the clock. He's looking at the clock. Is he getting tired? And, you know, it turned out to be a very finite thing at the end where it looks like Messenbrink forgot in the moment that Carr had riding time locked up and that he was kind of set on just closing out the third period and going to overtime. And you saw it click right away.
Right.
And you know what? There was talk too about when you have a guy like Messenbrink, who's young and undefeated all year and loses a match, I thought he handled it well. You know, he didn't seem to get too hard on himself. He, you know, even after he's, you know, posting on Instagram and Twitter, smiling, enjoying the team title. So I thought that was awesome of Messenbrink. You know, I'm so happy for my guy Carr to finish his career as one of the all-time Iowa State greats, college wrestling greats, now a two-time champ, four-time Pac-12 champ, Big 12 champ, sorry. So I thought that was awesome. Messenbrink is a problem, dude.
Oh yeah, he's someone you don't want to wrestle, man. I thought that was a terrific wrestling match too. He got what he got hit for stalling 4 times. That's just something you don't see that, and that's just
No.
like that just shows you the pace and
I
like
think he,
tenacity of Messenbrink.
and
That
I think that
dude's a
even
killer, man.
one of the stall points, I think, was when Carr was getting a takedown.
Yeah.
So it's like,
It
you
was
know.
off a it was off a re it was off a re-attack. So like they Mitchell took a shot and they hit him, and once they hit him, then David dropped in on a re-attack, and it was nice. And like it was right before that too. I was like, David's gonna need to get another takedown if he wants to try to win this match, because this dude's not gonna stop, but he's gonna keep coming, and he did. Ragtime point, man. That was tough. You did see it kind of click right after, but like in the heat of the moment, especially in a battle like that, it's 8-8. You know what I mean? There's just a lot of emotion going on. But I saw some stuff just on social media about or even I think JB said it on the stream too, about how in freestyle they have like kind of just like the underline, when it's on criteria or something like that. And maybe when riding time's locked, we go to something like that just so that the points on the board. And I don't think that's a bad idea at all. But man, what a great match! What a great tournament! That's a tough wait, and Mitch is going to be there for 3 more years, and that's those two guys moving on. Keegan maybe moving on.
It sounds like O'Toole's coming back and bumping up to 74.
Interesting.
So.
That would be cool to see too, but yeah, I mean, that's going to be Mitchell's weight.
Yep.
That's he's going to be the guy there, and we bring up Levi Haynes. Like you said, he might go up to 65, but you have that guy there, so that's really tough. It's
Be
just a
fun
loaded
if
room right there.
I don't know what Messenbrink's like weight is, but it'd be fun if Haynes went to 65 and Messenbrink is up to 74 when O'Toole goes up to 74. It's yeah.
Yeah, and they have Facundo up at 74 too.
Talk
They
about the
just got to load
depth.
that. Yeah, they him on a red shirt. They have Josh Barr on red shirt. I think he's 84 though. But man, they have a lot of firepower. And as a Penn State alum, it's exciting to kind of see all the good guys that they have. But man, that was my favorite weight of the weekend.
Same.
Just like that, I think that was a terrific finals match. That's really all I got to say about it. Both those wrestlers looked very good, and that's just how it went down.
Yeah, no, I'm so happy for Carr. He's one of my guys. He's a good friend, and to see him back on top of the podium, he was joking with me this morning that he was sorry he had to do it to quote unquote one of my PSU guys. And I'm like,
That's
listen,
how it
yeah,
goes.
yeah, listen,
He's as
that's
respectful as he's as respectful as
100%.
he gets, man. He's a very good dude.
Would you think that Carr and O'Toole is where do you rank that in college wrestling rivalries? For me, it's one. And I'm sure there's recency bias to that, but the fact that it was 3-2, they traded wins at NCAAs. It wasn't a one-sided, like somebody was saying Brooks Hidley. Brooks is like 3-0 against Hidley. Great matches, but the rivalries like gotta go
No,
back and forth.
that's definitely been the best rivalry over the past few years. Like, there's no doubt about that. Especially just like high caliber wrestling and skill, and going back and forth. It doesn't get really better than that.
Yeah, no, for sure. So, shout out David Carr. Look for David Carr. I'm telling you right now, he's probably gonna be on the podcast this week. So, if you guys want David Carr, look out for that. 74. Shout out.
Man,
Shout out Carter Starace. I mean,
what a
just.
beast, man. What a beast. He had to go through a lot for this tournament, and I don't take anything away from him. I mean, he wrestled some close matches because he had to. He's that's not how Carter likes to get it done, but that's how he had to get it done, and he did.
He wrestled
No
so
excuses.
smart this weekend. Like his match, I felt like his
Smart, yeah.
match.
He's just
I
a
didn't,
winner.
I didn't realize it till I printed off the finals bracket, which is something that it's fun to do. Kind of have to do it when you're doing a podcast like this. But if you go to NCAA's website, just print off the brackets and go through them. Sturacci went, so he won, he beat his first couple guys, he gave a couple points. But then he beat, when he started wrestling these methodical matches, he beat Lewis, Makai Lewis 4-0, Shane Griffith 2-0, and then Rocco Welsh 2-0. So he did not give up a point in the NCAA quarter, semis, and finals, which is incredible. And
crazy impressive. Yeah.
His post-match press conference or interview was one of my all-time favorites. All-time favorites. From him giving the credit to Dan Monthly, the Penn State athletic trainer.
Dan the man.
To him, like, giving off that credit. And Carter's a guy who, we've said on this podcast before, what you see, the Carter persona, there's an aspect of realism, too. He's not just putting on a front. But there's also Carter, the guy who texts me to ask how the family's doing. Like, he's a good human.
He's a great human being, yeah. And, you know, people kind of lose that with, like, you know, his kind of his tenacity, really. You know, he is the highest level of competitor. He is one of the toughest people I know. They don't make people like that. But he's also a terrific person, terrific human. And, you know, I got a lot of love for that dude. I got to be with him there for a couple years. He's great. And, like, you could kind of tell. It was actually, you know, I was working out with him. He was, like, a junior in high school or something like that. And he was just up on a visit, and I was wrestling with him. And just, like, the way he was wrestling, I talked to the coaches after, and I was like, we need to get this guy.
Yeah.
We need to get him. And they did, and just how they've, you know, helped him develop and just all the work that Carter's put in. I mean, he's earned everything. And, you know, I mean, it was good weight class, too. My boy Shane Griffith, I got a ton of love for Shane. He wasn't 100% either, clearly. He came in with a banged up knee pretty bad. He was hobbling around the week before, you know, he wasn't on the mat at all either. Both those guys were kind of just doing rehab and therapy for the weeks leading up, no wrestling really. And, you know, Shane was in some battles and he figured it out and got it done. Ended up placing third again. You know, he's done wrestling. That was his last wrestling tournament, I'm sure. But, like, he didn't need to come back and take third the way he did. He really didn't. And just all that heart, you know, I got a ton of love for Shane Griffith. I think he's a special human, too, kind of just like Carter. And I'm sure those guys definitely have respect for each other. You can kind of tell the way they wrestle that they do. But, man, like, that was an awesome weight, too. Another one of my favorite weights of the weekend.
Yeah,
and shout out Rocco Welsh.
Yeah, Rocco.
Made the finals as a true freshman, man.
Rocco is
awesome.
Rocco's a dog.
He was there. Yeah.
You know,
he was right there with those guys, man.
And people forget, you know, not to, yes, Carter definitely, excuse me, visually injured, but even before that, Rocco wrestled Carter to a 4-2 match in the duel in one of Carter's closest matches of the season. So Rocco Welsh, this wasn't just a close finals match. Rocco Welsh is a dog. And we talk about, you know, what we're going to see next year and years to come. Give me Keegan O'Toole versus Rocco Welsh. Like, give me some of these matchups that, you know, we're going to see. Mm-hmm. Ohio State has a lot to be excited about. They got a young squad. You got Jesse Mendez, a national champ. You got Rocco Welsh, a national runner-up. Like, they've got a lot of things to be excited about. And your guy, Shane, he definitely, I looked into it after, like, you know, he's now got first, second, fifth, and third place finishes at the NCAA tournament. He saved Stanford wrestling in the process.
Yes, he did.
And to win third, he beat the number one seed, a returning NCAA champion, 4-0, just like Carter did. So, shout out Shane Griffith. Also, I think David Carr is the only guy in the tournament who beat the one and the two seed. Not a bad little nugget.
Hey.
Not a bad little nugget.
Hey, good for him.
Carter.
I'm sure Carter would have too if the two seed made the finals. Oh, Vito did. Vito beat the one and the two seed.
No, Vito Did he?
Vito beat Crookham, who was the two.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. See, that's why I don't do fun facts on the fly. Carter also said April 19th and 20th, Olympic trials. And he's previously said he's going 74 kilos. He's not going up to 86. Can Carter, with, I love him not disclosing the injury, quit being like, so is it a torn ACL? No comment. I love that. But you got to wonder, for folk-style casual fans wanting to follow the Olympics, Carter would have to go down to 163 pounds to go down to 74 kilos, making that cut when you're as shredded as Carter is, and you don't know what the status of his knee is, you got to wonder. So I hope we see him. He's obviously always an exciting competitor in any bracket he's in, but I guess time will tell on that one.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see. But he's as tough as they come, so nothing would surprise me with him.
Here's another fun fact, golden nugget, to make up for the one that I just got wrong. I believe this was the first time all three service academies had an All-American in the same year. So shout out to service academies.
Hell yeah. I like that. That's a cool one.
Yeah, because they got I forgot how to say his name. Pasuik from Army.
Don't ask.
He got eighth place here, and then Navy's Key got a eighth place finish at 84. And then Wyatt Hendrickson for Air Force got a third place finish at heavyweight. So shout out to Service Academies. Love that. So yeah, 74, super fun weight. That was really the storyline of the weekend, having three national champs up top. Carter knocks them both off and wins the thing. Gets number four. Cal Sanderson having two four-timers in the same year is just bananas. You got to wonder if we'll ever see that again. Two four-timers at the same time. 84.
I agree.
84 was the weight that all year I have personally just been the least interested in. I just don't.
No disrespect, but
no,
same.
No, it's no disrespect to the competitors. It's just, you know, I have a lot of vested interest, a lot of biases, a lot of guys that I tune into. And this was predominantly a Big 12 weight and Pac-12. You know, you have Kekkaizen and Munoz and Plott as kind of the top three. Isaiah Salazar, I know he got the two seed. I was not impressed. I thought he lost the first round to Tony Negron.
I thought the same thing. I thought Negron had a takedown at the end of that match that they didn't feel like awarding him. But that's just how it goes, you know. He lost on it a minute and 8 seconds of riding time, and then Tony kind of took the loss on the backside after that. But I mean, this was kind of just Parker Kekkaizen and then everybody else. And I don't want to say like it's a shame that he didn't really get pushed all year, because he just kind of separated himself that much on the field. Because I think he even said it, like, you know, he's preparing for Aaron Brooks and Trent Hydeley. You know, like he was preparing to beat those guys. And, you know, I think those guys down at 84, I think those are great matches. I think Parker is that good. But you know, he did his thing. He kind of ran the gauntlet, ran through the field.
Literally, I mean, he bonused his whole way through the tournament.
That's very impressive.
He got a 10-0 major, a 19-4 tech, a 22-6 tech, a 10-2 major over Munoz, and then a 14-5 major over Plott in the finals. And if you didn't have a four-time champ...
He's damn good, yeah.
If you did not have a four-time champ named Aaron Brooks at the next weight, this would be my Hodge pick. He went undefeated.
Yeah.
Insane bonus your way through the NCAA tournament. I think he was one of the biggest favorites, betting odds, you know, in the finals.
Every match.
It's like, you couldn't bet on Parker for less than like minus 1,000, meaning you got to win 100, you got to bet 1,000. So Parker wrestled an absolutely awesome tournament. He is officially if I had a Hodge vote in rankings, he's my number two. And he does have one more year left. He has one more year left. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll see him back next year. Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, he's got.
I thought he was senior.
He probably is a senior, but nowadays that doesn't mean you don't have one more year left.
you just kind of go till you feel like you're done at this
point. he's one of those kids that he redshirted in 2020, and his redshirt freshman year is 2021.
As confusing as that for us, imagine how confusing that is for like just casual like fans. Like they could just be in college forever, I guess. You know?
Yeah. But, Rebecca Roper had tweeted out right away, like, listen, guys, yes, he has. I think it was her. No, maybe Allison Schwab. Somebody had tweeted out, like, yeah, he's got one more year left. Don't even bother coming for him.
That's a UNI guy right there. He's staying put.
Yeah.
You could tell how much love he has for that place, too. And like, that's highly respectable also. I mean, I hope he has another year because then we get to watch him more. Cause,
yeah, she, you know, she's
– he's really good.
Yeah. Let me see who it was. But she said – go ahead.
No, a couple other guys, like things that stuck out to me at this weight class. Bennett Berge.
What a dog. Another dog.
What a dog. Yeah. Lost first round, came all the way back, wrestled for third, came fourth, dropped that match. But, man, you know, that's hell of a tournament to him. And then also, big fan of TJ Stewart, man. Like, I love
how
that
guy wrestles. He's so fun to watch.
He's really fun to watch. He lets it rip. He's explosive. I think he's just going to keep getting better and better and better. And I think that's someone that you know, he got on the podium. That's someone that people are going to have to be watching out for over the next few years. He's good, and he's only going to get better, man. Freshman, again, you know, getting on the podium. You love to see that. One thing that did surprise me at this weight was Lenny Pinto not placing. Got taken out by Birdie in the round of 12. I like how Pinto wrestles. Couldn't get it done, though. We'll see how he bounces back next year. But, yeah, I mean, fun weight all in all. Really kept guys and then everybody else, I think. But over the next year, I think we'll see guys like, you know, maybe TJ Stewart and Berge, like we said, kind of emerge and maybe make that jump and maybe push, you know, push the champ or something. But we'll see, man.
Yeah, it was Allison Schwab who said, Natty champ, P.S. he has one more year. Don't even call him. I'll keep the receipts.
Exactly, yeah. So sounds like he's coming back. So we'll see what these guys can do. We'll see if they can grow, make some adjustments, and maybe push that guy. But from the looks of it, it looks like Parker Keck guys and then everybody else, really.
And how about his career he's had? Third place finish, second place finish, first place finish. I mean, awesome. That is just, incredible. So shout out Parker, my Hodge runner-up. And now you have 97. And I had said going into this weekend that I was leaning towards the winner of this weight getting the Hodge. Because if an undefeated, you know, 30-plus win match or 30-plus matches, Trent Hydeley can take out Aaron Brooks, he deserves the Hodge. On the contrary, Aaron Brooks, who was 95% bonus on the year heading into the finals, had only one match not bonus somebody. And the finals was the only second one that he beat Hydeley 6-1. Aaron Brooks is incredible. And so much so that I kind of jumped the gun on a prediction tweet. And I said, Aaron Brooks is winning the Olympic trials. Now, that's not a slant towards David Taylor. What made me tweet that, to be honest, was the horsepower in which he took down Hydeley. I just said, this dude is so big and strong. And between when that takedown happened and when I tweeted that, what I was thinking about is, number one, in this era of greats we have, like Taylor and Dake, where they only wrestle twice a year, you obviously are sometimes going to have recency bias. You just saw Brooks dominate 22 guys this year. What, in that same period of time, I don't think we've seen David Taylor wrestle a single match. So, of course, there's recency bias. You also have the fact of David Taylor is 33 years old. He has beautiful children now and a family to tend to. He's got multiple businesses. How bad does he want another Olympic gold versus, you know, a young and hungry Aaron Brooks?
I don't think he'd be doing it if he didn't want it just as bad. I really don't. He probably has a different outlook on it now just because of how life goes. But, you know, there's – those two guys are great, but there's more guys at that weight too. You know, we can't forget about Zahid.
Derringer
got a medal up at 90. Yeah, Zahid got a medal up at 92 last year. He'll be coming back down. He's filled out enough for the weight. But we can talk about that another time. But
I got a lot of crap because I said, you know, a lot of people responding to my tweet. I just want to give context. Because it's my own fault. You tweet something out like Aaron Brooks is winning Olympic trials, and I understand people are like, have you heard of David Taylor? Yes, David Taylor is the clear favorite, but it was 6-0 and 5-4 last year. Well, that'll be an Olympic trials preview show. I just wanted to give a little added context for that.
For sure. Yeah, and the recent bias is big. And Trent's also a guy there, too. Trent beat Darren.
Oh, yeah.
Earlier in the year too, so like, and I think this kind of shows you how much Aaron's growing as a wrestler. I got a ton of love for that dude. Also, he's a great human being as well. Super hardworking guy, and you can just tell by how he wrestles. It's just like, and I was saying it, you know, during that match, I was like, this is next level wrestling. There's the hand fight, the foot movement, just like the pace of the hand fight and of that match is just. It was different. It just looked different than the rest of it. That guy looks like he's ready to take on everybody in the world. And like, you know, so Aaron Brooks, Hodge Trophy winner. I mean, if anyone else gets it, I think that'd be kind of silly.
Yeah, I don't know how you'd even Parker would be the only other one you could even make the argument for, but when you have to factor in everything, and I just think Brooks is the favorite, but Parker is a runner-up, and it's one of those things that you guys saw it at Penn State.
I mean,
you got multiple people in your own team that could in theory win it in the same year.
One year we had Bo and Jason that like it was kind of just like split, like pick one out of a hat, you know what I mean? And even like the year before, Bo or Zane, you know, the same type of thing. And like, I think that's kind of why they went Bo, and I think this is probably why they'll go Brooks this year. He just won his fourth. And like, I understand like you're not supposed to take other years into account. It's just that year. But I mean, come on, man.
Even if you're not supposed to take the rest of the career into consideration, when somebody wins their fourth title, you have such a target on your back. It's only been done 6 times in history, or 7 now. So it's a crazy accomplishment that you'd be. And I also, because I got some people asking me about like Carter and the Hodge. I don't count Carter's medical forfeits as losses, but him not having a conference. What?
That's what the NCAA does, though.
No, I know, but I think the bigger argument is him not having a conference championship is what hurts him more. If you're talking about who gets the Hodge, who has had the most dominant season, I don't think you can give it to a guy who doesn't have that conference title. I think that hurts more than the you know, official losses. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if he would have wrestled at the Big Tens, then we'd be talking about, you know, if it's between Aaron and Carter, and I think that would have been a toss-up. But, you know, I think then, unfortunately, like, he had to default out of that because, again, you saw him hobbling off the stage at the end of his match. Like, dude's a beast. I mean, Aaron Brooks, my opinion, Hodge Trophy.
By the way,
that's about it.
We kind of skipped over it, but Carter does have one more year left. Carter could be the only 5-time champ in history if he wanted to be, or he could go compete to try to be, I should say, which is crazy. And I don't know if he has any aspirations in doing that. I feel like there's not a whole lot of juice. Like,
he did say this is little kid stuff. So Carter's not a little kid.
His goal has been become a four-time champ. So I don't know that he'd stick around to try to become a 5-time champ. No kid grows up saying, I want to be a 5-time NCAA champion. Like, it's
doesn't sound right.
All right, in 285, our boy, Greg.
Yes, sir.
The texts I got were like, Kirk is a giant. Those were the type of texts I was getting because he's just out here manhandling
the Jolly Giant.
Yeah, and he had a close match with Feldman. Feldman, again, you know, you talk about this young Ohio State team. He took fifth. He looked great.
They're going to be good.
Yep.
They're on the right trajectory for sure.
Kirk is just, man, he's so exciting. He's so exciting to watch when you have these big heavyweights that act, like when they go after it. And we've been so blessed to have like Gable, mm-hmm. Mason, Kirk, all these heavyweights mm-hmm. who let it fly. I was really looking forward to after the crap that he, the talk, younger Bastida, which I'm here for. I like that. I think you have some rivalries.
Me too. I'm here for it also.
You have some rivalries where guys are going to be a bit more respectful of each other, and you're going to have the MMA style rivalries. This is still a combat sport. So I was excited mm-hmm. for Kirk and Bastida. Lucas Davidson got that takedown with seconds to go, which was mm-hmm. crazy takedown. You know, younger, I don't know that I would have released the broken finger photo after the video yeah. he posted just days before. Either don't post that video because you don't know how healthy your hand is, but he still had an incredible season.
He's just doing him, man. I see no issues with it, but hey, now we all know. but yeah, I mean, I was gonna go with my man Greg either way. You know, I didn't really think that was gonna be as tightly contested as a lot of other people thought it might have been. Fortunately, we didn't get to see it happen. But good for Lucas Davidson for, you know, two big wins. He beat him and Hendrickson, make it to the finals, and then Greg kind of dominated from there. But you know, I'm super happy for that man, Greg Kirkfleet. He's a one of a kind dude, man, and you could tell how bad he wanted it. And we did see some awesome emotion from him after that match. Yeah, he was that was probably the loudest he's ever been in his whole life. as you know, he's a big, you know, he's just one of those people that he's kind of quiet to himself a little bit, and he just he loves wrestling, and you know, I'm super happy for him that he was able to get that done, and you know, he can do it again. Freestyle scene, you know, if he goes and compete, watch out for him, man. He can beat anybody. He really can. He can beat all those guys. And you know, I'm excited to see what he does, whether he decides to take a little time off or not. I'm sure I'll talk to him a little bit about that. But man, like, if he wants to go wrestle freestyle this year, like, watch out for Big Greg, because he can definitely win everything.
Yeah, and I didn't see the match. But on the backside, Slavikowski from Rutgers did take out Bastida 8-3. Mm-hmm. I didn't see the match. I saw the result after.
I didn't either.
But that knocked out Bastida from even an All-American status, which is crazy. Right. Bastida undefeated on the year coming into this weekend and does an AA. Crazy. So it's probably why he shared the broken finger.
I'm sure that's why he did. But again, man, like, that's life.
Yeah,
that's how it goes sometimes.
So that was a super fun weight. Wyatt Hendrickson, he's so fun to watch. I'm gonna miss that kid.
He seems like a great human too, man.
Yeah, he
don't
was
know
on...
the dude, but like he looks like he just has a great time out there, and he just lets it rip. I like watching him also. He'll be on the freestyle scene too. We love Wyatt Hendrickson. He's been great for wrestling.
If you haven't listened to the Wyatt Hendrickson episode, that was a fun one. That one was the biggest pain in the butt to edit, because the way the Wi-Fi works at Air Force, or I think he was at the Air Force Academy at the time,
mm-hmm.
The Wi-Fi has like this monster delay. So there was a 3-4 second delay. So basically every time I said something, there was 3-4 seconds of silence. And that adds up when you're like trying to listen to a podcast. So we had to go out and edit all those. But yeah, that's weight by weight. Penn State did set the new point record as a team, 172.5 points, which is crazy. Cornell came in second.
That's awesome though for Cornell.
Yep.
Where'd my Devils finish? Where'd my ASU guys finish? Let's see.
Let's take a look.
Sixth. Pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah, it's funny because Penn State scored so many points that I think it's because of how many points they had. It ended up where there was such a tight race. I mean, you figure mm-hmm. Cornell had 72.5, Michigan 71, Iowa State 16.5, mm-hmm. Iowa 62. Like, you had 8 teams within 13 points from 2nd to 9.
Yeah, that's wild. I mean, it was really tightly contested. We'll see how next year goes, but with Penn State and then everybody else, I'm sure it'll be pretty similar next year too. But
man, yes,
shout out Cornell.
Yep,
for coming in second. That's awesome. No transfers, all Cornell guys. That's, you know, not like you could probably transfer into Cornell anyway.
Right. I guess,
I'm sure if they could, they probably would.
Yeah, to have those teammates in that room.
Those Ivy League schools, they don't really take transfers. I know whenever I was at Stanford, they didn't take transfers unless it was a grad transfer or something and the person was actually, like, earned it. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's super impressive, even though they won by 100 points. I mean, come on, man. Like,
literally 100. Literally 100 points.
That's, like, going undefeated in, like, if you compare that to, like, I don't know, college football, it's like going undefeated and winning the championship by like 45-0 or something like that. I don't know. It's just like,
and I had posted,
there's like nothing you can compare that to.
Yeah. I had posted a stat that turned out to be just a little bit off. I had said that under Penn State or under Cal Sanderson at Penn State, Nittany Lions are 56-6 or something like that in the semis. That stat was a little wrong. John Kozak, like, went through, did all the research. It's actually 57-9. That is still an absolutely absurd,
that's awesome,
record for the semifinals. 57-9.
Man, it's just like, and you know, a lot of people will just like, the thing right now is like, oh, like, well, when you can buy all your guys, like, Penn State doesn't spend money like some of these other programs do. Mm-hmm. They don't, and like, they don't have to. It's just like, guys want to go there, and they're terrific coaching, and it's a terrific environment. It's like, yeah, like, that, you know, I'm sure the NIL and stuff, donors out there probably help a little bit, but like, there's other places that we know will spend a lot more money on guys, and it's just, you know, the atmosphere and just the spirit of the program that's helped them to get to where they are today.
And it's also, if you go back, Ross posted a Russell Chicago posted a chart that shows semifinal performance. It was from 2010 to now. Mm-hmm. And their records in the semis are Cornell 57% win, Ohio State 52%, Oklahoma State 60%, Iowa 56%. And then you had Penn State 87.7%. Just a crazy percentage. And you're going back to 2010. Yeah. This is long before, you know, NIL era.
Way before. And yeah, it's just, it's crazy impressive. I do like the one stat with Iowa having a finalist the past, what, 34 years?
34 years, yeah.
That's crazy too, man. Like,
yeah, Drake Ayala, shout out Drake, kept that alive.
That's tradition right there, man. Like, those guys are always going to be good.
All right.
What else we got?
I think that's pretty much everything. That's all the weights. That's Hodge. That's team. Yeah, that's pretty much the NCAA championship recap. Any final thoughts that you had?
I drank a lot of coffee during the show, so I'm going to have some jitters throughout the day.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
That's totally normal. It's coffee talk.
That's always fun for me. So we'll see if I can pump some water in. But,
and then you compete in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's 2 weeks from today. I'm excited. I'm ready to go. Body's feeling great. Good spirits. That's really it. You know, anytime I get to go out there and compete, I'm just pretty excited and grateful. And, you know, whatever the competition is what the competition is. And I'm really looking forward to it. I love, you know, going to tournaments too. I get to see some old friends and things like that, which is always really nice. But yeah, get to go out there, lay it on the line again. And, you know, anytime you do that, it's really exciting.
I can't wait. Right now, you know, Titan Mercury hasn't registered their guys yet. There's like 10 or 12 guys in the bracket. I'm sure we're going to see some college kids entering. So
yeah, we'll see it fill up this week and next too, with the college season ending. And yeah.
We got to get some great wrestlers in here so you can actually like break a sweat.
I'm sure I will. There's already some pretty dang good guys registered there. So, you know, wrestling is never easy. It's never going to be a walk in the park. Yeah. So like, I'm excited for it, and I got to bring my A game, and that's really what it's all about. Fight through every position. Mitch Messenbrink mindset.
Yes. Is your gas tank?
Maybe.
Are you ready for if you and Messenbrink wrestle at the Olympic trials? Are you ready for that tank?
I don't know, man. he shoots so much, man.
I can't remember what tournament it was. Was it I can't remember. It was like back in 2021, I think. You'd wrestled like 6 matches in a day. And you're just like, I'm exhausted, dude.
That was last chance in 21.
Yeah.
Last chance guy, clearly. But I don't know. People ask me too, like, oh, if you wrestled him when you were a freshman, like, how do you think it would go? And I'm like, dude, I have no idea. We're like opposite wrestlers. Like, we'd probably get to my legs a ton, and I'd have to just try to feed him hips. So, like, that'd be about it. But he'd be all over my ass though.
But it's crazy too when you like think about two guys, and that's why I think, you know, some of these people love talking about like fantasy matchups and matchups you want to see, because mm-hmm. you do wonder how people would have matched up or how they will match up. Where it's like Rocco Welch, right. Keegan O'Toole. I already want to see that next year. It'll be fun. Yeah. But it's hard sometimes because you don't know how it's going to play out or how somebody's style changes. So, yeah, I'm pumped.
Yeah. And it's just like you said, like when we first talked about the show, it's like, oh, like your team, like my college team versus the current college team. Like, I don't care. Like, I respect the shit out of these guys, and I think they're awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're great. And I love rooting for them. I love cheering them on. And, you know, I just think it's – they do such a good job because their guys wrestle such different styles, and they all, you know, wrestle hard in their own way. And it's just like, they're different, you know, they're not trained to wrestle the exact same. They're trained to have similar tendencies, which is wrestling through positions and, you know, keeping certain hands in certain places and stuff like that. But it's like, you know, we're not like, all right, you got to circle this way and shoot a single leg, because that's how our program does it. You know, that's just not it. They do a great job of working with the individual, and like that's one of the reasons why they're great.
Yeah, I mean, you go and win the last chance and head to the Olympic trials, and you're likely going to see a Penn State guy with the number of guys that are there. You know, and I remember asking you and Nolf after you guys wrestled at the Bill Farrell the one year, like, it as fans, it's always weird because like
mm-hmm.
fans root for teammates, and all of a sudden the teammates go against each other, and it's like, uh-oh, what do I do? But for the wrestlers, mm-hmm. it's usually never as awkward as for the fans. So,
yeah, it's a tad awkward. But like when you're out there, you're just in a wrestling match, and like, you know, if I wrestle a guy like Jason, like I got a ton of love for him. Obviously, I've known him forever. And before the match, he's my boy. After the match, he's my boy. You know, during the match, we're competitors, and that's just how it goes. And we wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah. All right. I think that's the official NCAA championship recap show. And, you know, let's commit to making Coffee Talk a more regular occurrence.
Yeah, you got it.
The fans are clamoring for more Coffee Talk. So, all right, guys, that's Bashmania. Like, subscribe, comment, tell us what you think. Tweet at us. Let me know why Ben Askren blocked me.
I'll see what I can find out. But, yeah. All right, later.
And the beat goes on.